not at the Department of Labor and Industries Employment Standards Program. I was. But that's okay. I was for many years, so I'm still. So I work at our State Department of Health, but I'm not here in that capacity. This is called the Model Policy for Youth Employment in Agriculture. And I have no relationships to disclose. I want to acknowledge my other authors involved in this process, Marcia Salzwedel and Barbara Lee from the National Children's Center in Marshfield, Wisconsin. It was supported by a NIOSH grant. But the positions in this statement, in this policy, don't necessarily reflect the positions of NIOSH. So, usual outline of what I plan to cover today. So, the background of this is when the U.S. Department of Labor failed to follow through on developing and updating our child labor regulations in agriculture. I felt pretty frustrated and upset, frankly. And because we lack up-to-date regulatory framework for employed youth in agriculture, and we actually do have quite a bit of, there's limited education and resources regarding what's age-appropriate work in agricultural settings. And then the partner in this was the National Council of Agriculture Employers, who also had a desire to avoid further regulations and do the right thing. So they felt that even though the federal government had, the White House had pulled the whole proposal to update it in 2012, update the regulations, that there could be regulations coming forward, even though I could tell them otherwise. But so I want to give you the background of how this process evolved and identify the framework for how we describe safe work environments for youth, and specifically focusing on 14 to 17-year-old, those we typically consider to be of legal age, even though we know kids younger than 14 may be employed in agriculture. And so we developed a voluntary guidance for both employers and possibly parents who chose to adopt it. And the other purpose was to help promote a dialogue about these issues, because once the regulatory process ended, it basically stopped almost all conversation about regulating. Do people understand, have any background? I mean, if we have time later, I can explain a little more about the withdrawal of the proposal by the federal government in 2012. It had gone through pretty much the entire process of a rulemaking and comment period and feedback and et cetera, and then literally on, I think it was Worker Memorial Day, or the eve of Worker Memorial Day, when I saw the press release withdrawing it altogether. It was a political issue. Protecting children is a political issue, and they just decided they didn't want it was an election year. Anyway, so I just like to remind people that the risk for injuries for youth is obviously the presence of workplace hazards, the lack of training and experience that they have, lack of adequate supervision. Many people don't even understand what's necessary to supervise youth. And then we have a lot of adolescent development issues that I won't go into here. I mentioned a number of them, but that's more detail than I can go into here. So I went to the winter meeting of the National Council of Agricultural Employers to pitch this idea about creating a model policy, and we recruited members from their membership. National Council of Ag Employers is way much smaller than the Farm Bureau, and they have some different priorities than the Farm Bureau, and they were very willing to participate in this. So we went through a process over the course of a year, basically, and then I sent it out for feedback from a variety of organizations and listservs, the Childhood Agriculture Safety Network, our Young Worker Health and Safety Network that we originated here from APHA, the International ISASH, it used to be the National Institute for Farm Safety, and I can never remember what ISASH stands for now. So in these are the elements that are included in the policy, some guiding principles about youth employment, youth development, and the intersection of youth development and the work environment, and then some we had to sort of make sure we were talking about it as a voluntary guideline for training and supervision, job assignments, and work hours, and that includes how early, how late, how many. So our guiding principles, which, I mean, for this partnership with this employer organization, even though the employer organization itself did not end up being able to endorse it, come to an agreement by their board. Members approved it and were participating in this. So I was very happy that they were took on these kinds of concepts that you don't normally encounter with employer groups, as in my experience. So that we all recognize the importance of opportunities to develop job skills balanced with their other age-appropriate needs. And looking at job skills instead of work ethic, I'm really not a big fan of the terminology work ethic because it really doesn't describe developing job responsibilities, career goals, and et cetera. It's a whole different moral concept that I won't go into, but we use it a lot to think that faster, harder, more, and more hours is better somehow. Youth development and work environment, we again included some information about the various limitations, why we should limit work for youth and in which ways. That gave some specifics about training and supervision, and that includes direct and close supervision, which often does not happen in an agricultural setting. I'll go over some of the specific and general job assignment recommendations that we have. And a piece that I was particularly really happy about was having some comments on addressing work hours, particularly not allowing kids to work night shifts and really long shifts. And I've seen that happen in Washington State, even though we have hours of work limitations, 12-hour night shifts, driving combines has been permitted. And then we have different recommendations for 14, 15 versus 16, 17. So we built this into the general guidance in terms of having accident prevention programs in place. 14 and 15-year-olds should never be involved in hazardous work. And then looking at graduated job responsibilities and job assignments for 16, 17-year-olds. And then specifically for those in vocational education programs. We also wanted to make sure that, aside from other exposures that we normally think about, that noise exposure is also a major issue for youth, and especially operating various machines and sometimes in packing houses. If they're on the farm, they would be regulated under agriculture and need more protection from noise exposures. Certainly no involvement in handling pesticides. And some of us submitted recommendations to the EPA that minimum age should be 18. The U.S. Department of Labor regulations stop at age 16, so we don't have any protections for 16, 17-year-olds. No one under 18 should be operating tractors without ROPS or seatbelts. No youth working in tobacco harvest, thanks to Tom Arcuri and his group, making sure we got that into the policy. Grain handling facilities, silos, confined spaces, whether it's on the farm or off the farm. When it's off the farm, it comes under non-agriculture. It's kind of one of these bizarre nuances about how we regulate. And then heat stress, looking at extreme temperatures. We were really talking about heat stress because, well, in our area, for instance, not very many people are actually working outside, at least youth, so that we have at least two states with heat stress rules that could be referenced. So we presented this at an international conference on agriculture, safety, and health in September, and the American Academy of Pediatrics was interested in endorsing it. I need to continue to pursue that with them. I've been doing a lot of outreach with presentations and publications, and Human Rights Watch did bring the policy to their hearings in May last year about the issue related to tobacco. Barb Lee and I have a publication that came out in, I think it was July, and we developed a web page so that, you know, other people could come. I mean, the concept was developing this policy was take it and adopt it and co-brand it or brand it, so we have a template that has been developed, and I'm very happy the Canadian Agriculture Safety Association kind of adopted it in full on their web page in French and English. And so the policy also provides for, lots of resources, lots of tools for employers. This is one I worked on with the Marshfield Clinic. We were trying to come up with a different kind of concept in terms of, I'm not a big fan of posters if you don't also talk to people about what's on them. But this was a way to give, you know, foremen or people in the field some real, you know, clear bulleted, they're gorgeous. And all of this stuff is on the web page, on the Marshfield's web page. The whole intention of this, obviously, was to reduce injuries to children and youth and try to contribute to a culture of safety and promote a better prepared workforce. So, you know, one of the things that I come up against a lot is that, you know, the opposition to updating rules came from many fronts, but it was mostly focused on people who thought we were going to, you know, the rules would impact the sacrosanct family farm. I'm not even sure what that is anymore, but it wasn't. It would not have impacted people, kids working on their family's farm, which is sort of the elephant in the room in the first place, since so many are getting injured and killed in those situations. But we don't care. So, but work-based learning and school-based educational opportunities is really another place where we have graduated job assignments, kind of like having a graduated driver's license. And so, you know, we also want to make it clear that in those situations where there is close supervision, typically health and safety is supposed to be required, you know, that they are in a different, you know, realm, even though they, of course, need to be restricted from the most hazardous work. And then, again, in parent-owned farms, there really are no protections, no mandates, there's no guidance, by and large. But we actually had hoped that the guidelines would serve as some guidance to them. And I'm also hoping that, you know, by creating our own best practices, what we think as a community is the best. I took elements from the proposal by the USDOL and incorporated it into the policy. And pretty much to my surprise, you know, the employer representatives didn't have a problem with it. But there, you know, it was a problem just to get it endorsed by the organization. But I still am hopeful that that might work out someday. I just like to remind people just that it's important to talk to teens as well, you know, your workforce, just like you would adults, you know, about what they need. And this was just some of the information that I gleaned from talking to teens. And it's just a reminder that we also need to include them in the conversation here. I called it nagging. They didn't call it nagging. That one-on-one thing was really important. And as Tish mentioned in our meeting yesterday, you know, they really like in-person stuff. It really makes them feel like they're cared for, imagine. And they understood that managers need more safety, so we need to reach out to them as well to make sure they understand. In all the years that I've been working with employers to, in terms of how to reach their teens, I'm realizing that I'm also teaching them about health and safety. The issue about workers' comp claims really was another thing that I really like to make sure that employers know is a big issue, that if you didn't prevent the injury from happening in the first place, let's at least keep it from getting worse. This is a time before we have the Affordable Care Act, and most of the kids that I talked to had no health insurance coverage. And so one of the things that's come out of the fact that the proposal was pulled is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture was given all this money for educational programs, not the USDOL to help employers understand the rules and how to, you know, follow through. The old ones, even though they're imperfect, are at least something. So all this money was given to the U.S. Department of Agriculture to develop a program that's been given to the Penn State University Extension Program. It's called Safety in Agriculture for Youth, and it's you know, I try to bring this up at recent meetings on this project where they're trying to collect all the health and safety curriculum that's out there, thinking that we can just train away the hazards, and that all that, you know, that we can just keep training and providing health and safety education, and that somehow that makes it okay for a group of people that aren't really ready to incorporate that information, at least when you're operating dangerous equipment. So, but it's at least something, but I still, it's a bit imperfect, but it's at least something in the right direction. So I don't know what traction this kind of policy will have. I guess figure it was good to get it out there to tell people what else they should be thinking about when employing youth besides the 1970 regulations that are clearly outdated, confusing, poorly written, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a little bit of time, or
yeah, hold a question.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty much what I had to say on the development of this process and my efforts to distribute it and reach out to people. Do people have comments, questions? Tom.
So
Tom Markery from.
So these 10 to 13-year-olds can work in the fields, and we know they can work in the fields legally. Why did you exclude 10 to 13-year-olds from your policy?
Well, we actually in the policy it says no one under 14 should really be working. Even though it's legal, but being legal doesn't make it okay. So the policy describes that really mostly, I mean, all of those recommendations would apply to anyone under 18. We make a statement that the minimum age should be 14 for working in agriculture. It doesn't mean we excluded them. It means we, well, yeah, we don't want them there.
Tish. Yeah, it's great, Mary. It's really exciting. What I'm trying to figure, do you have any recommendations for states what we ought to be doing? Especially, we're not a huge agricultural state, but you know, do we take this to our vocational education community? Where, what can we do with this in our state?
Yeah. Well, it'd be good to have that conversation. I would really like that. The vocational education community, even though I presented this to some of the leaders in the vocational education community at a meeting recently in Louisville on kind of moving this agenda forward with the education piece from Penn State and others, the vocational education community gets them concerned. Because it looks like we're trying to restrict them from being in work-based learning, and that's not at all the case. There's really quite a strong reaction about anything that looks like it's going to restrict. Even though we have vocational education restrictions and lots of latitude in student learner placements in non-agriculture, people immediately think this is going to restrict them in an agricultural setting, and it won't. So it part of it is how it's framed. And I'd be really happy to talk to you about it because I really think that it's a group of teachers in the vocational education associations that haven't really kind of been involved in the conversation except by the Farm Bureau to say, all regulation is bad. You know, that was sort of how, that was the fallout of the whole process, unfortunately. And I want to just mention briefly about the hours of work. The federal government has no hours of work for kids working in agriculture of any age. We do in Washington, which I'm glad about, but then there are employers that have successfully lobbied or, you know, whatever, to get around those laws. And so I'm a very big believer. And if you're going to have 12 and 13-year-olds out in the field, which they're allowed to do for certain crops, that they be restricted in how many hours that they can do that, you know. Other questions?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Did you have any immigrant workers or that kind of discussion in your policy?
Well, that's a good question. She asked if we had any discussion about immigrant workers. Well, you know, there wasn't any mention of the different types of farm kids who are working on farms. This is applying to kids who are hired youth, which can be, at least I'll mention Washington State, they can be immigrant workers, they can be local U.S. workers of Hispanic background or other backgrounds, so they can be migrants, they can be anyone who are hired. So this is about hired youth, and in some places they're mostly immigrant or local Hispanic youth, or some, you know, we have migrants. And I know that we have an issue that parents bring their kids to the farm and because there's no place else, to the work field, they don't have any place else to have them be supervised and they think it's reasonable to bring them to the field. So that's a whole nother issue. But, so this meant to address any hired youth, regardless of what their background is or where they came from. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.